to have a platform such as a pastor does. You don't have to have a radio broadcast or a television broadcast to be effective. You don't even have to write a book. But there are things the Holy Spirit can do in your life. The prayers you can pray. Your prayers avail much. You can be a little old lady in a hospital bed and see something on the news and pray over it and change the facts on the ground and make a great difference. As long as you believe God without doubt in your heart. What we're capable of is off the charts. And when you look at the course of your life, what if you made Holy Ghost decisions every day? What if you made at least 30 Holy Ghost decisions every day? What if you just made 10 every day? Over the course of your life, things will change rapidly. What if you embraced every word that God gives you? And this is what happens. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, guess what Peter did? He also said, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, Peter heard this. Peter embraced another adjustment. You didn't see Peter trying to get Jesus not to die anymore. Now, Peter said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus said, you will deny me three times before the cock crow. And he did. Now, again, Jesus also told him, the devil has desired to have you, Peter, to sift your mind as wheat. And guess what, Peter, then Jesus said, but I pray for you. And when you're strengthen your brothers. All of this happened. Peter denied Christ three times. With everything he ever witnessed of Jesus, all the teachings, everything, he still denied him in a pinch. Three times. Then the cock crew. Then he repented. Then he strengthened the other disciples. See, what we may fall short, but see, when Jesus, our high priest, that's a perfect example of Jesus, our high priest, interceding for us, we can do things we normally couldn't do. He takes us beyond our failures. So you don't have to be strong to get something done. You just have to be obedient and remain obedient, and the Lord will help you be obedient. When you're weak, he's strong. When you don't know, he knows. When you need counsel, he got it. Can you receive it and proceed? So Peter received counsel. He received might. He received the understanding, and he proceeded. He still didn't know what Jesus was up to. Then 3 days and three nights went away, starting with the Passover, and it ended on Sunday morning. So Jesus arose, and Peter and John went to the temple. They're the only two disciples that went to see when they got the news that he had arose. And John outran him. And Peter was giving it all he had, but John was faster. Nevertheless, Jesus met him on the road and talked to him. And their hearts burned just like it did when he was with them in the flesh. And now he's in the flesh again, but he changed his look and they didn't know who he was. And he acted like he was going to continue going. Then they asked him to stay. And then when he revealed himself, then disappeared. Then they knew it was him. Adjustments all the time being made. Now let's go to Acts. Acts chapter 2. Acts 1. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. See, the Lord has things to say. Acts chapter 1. Well, let's go back to John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded about his fishing coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciple came in a little ship, for they were not far from him, from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Another miracle. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord, after he had raised from the dead. Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, thou son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walked whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. Okay. He's dealing with Peter. Peter is now committed. He loves him like Jesus loves him. He's charged. He's ready to begin the things that he should do. Okay, Acts chapter 1. It says, the former trees have I made, O Theophilus, verse 1, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Remember also, when he appeared to him, he breathed on him and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit within. Just like the woman at the well, she would have a well of water as everlasting life, springing up in the everlasting life. That's the Holy Spirit within, to always be with you and teach you and counsel you. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. You don't worry about the earthly things. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit, what he's doing. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came. You see, Peter went from glory to glory. An adjustment was made all along. Not to exclude the parable of the sower, the parable of the tares, the wheat and tares. All these, he made adjustment after adjustment in his life. And now, he's about to make history again. Now, you know the story. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and as the Spirit gave them utterance. Obedience leads to greater obedience. Obedience leads to much greater obedience. And if you skip a step, you can't go as far. All right, verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. All right, in verse 5 again. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And when they were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we they speak? And how hear we every man in our own language, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, in Pontus, and in Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocked and said, These men are full of new wine. Now here's Peter again. Adjustments are made. He knows who Jesus is. He knows that Jesus rose up. He loves people. He's committed to feeding the sheep now, instead of fish. Fishing men is his prime objective. Whether he fished anymore, not for fish. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifting up his voice, and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, he was able to, he knew that this is that which the prophet Joel spoke. Now let's look at Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days shall I pour out my spirit. Let me go back to that. This is good. Verse 27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now that just blows the Jewish mind. That never happened before. Only the kings, priests, and prophets would hear from the Lord that way and prophesy. When Saul laid out naked, saying whatever he said, they asked, is Saul also among the prophets? He probably said, David's going to be king. David's going to be king. I don't know. But now here it is. Your daughters, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. That was unheard of in the common life in Israel. People being led astray with all forms of idolatry. And the leaders, the leadership they had were blind leaders of the blind. Even the Pharisees didn't dream dreams and see visions and have prophecy. They went 400 years without prophecy. That was known. I know God always had a remnant. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Now watch this one. This really blows the Jewish mind of the day. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. The people that go around filling up your wine cups, they going to prophesy? Are you kidding me? The handmaids who wait on me day and night, they're going to prophesy? Are you kidding me? I love the Lord. He knows how to blow the religious mind of the day, of any day, which ours is the worst. Modern times, when people are wrong about things and they believe they're right, this is the worst it's ever been in the history of mankind. Well, I say the only thing that possibly had us beat was the days before the flood. But guess what? This time it's going to be much worse. So people are full of violence now, but there are so many people that have the love of God in them. And there are many people that's full of hatred. In Noah's day, men were full of violence. They just loved violence continually to the point that God hated, made it man in the first place. But God found grace in Noah. See, the Lord loved, Jesus came, he was a part of us. He took men that were regular fishermen, people of the common mindset, that longed for more righteousness, that wanted the ways of God. They were patriots. They wanted Israel to be first again. But they had to make plenty of adjustments. This is what's missing when people don't spend time with their Father. This is what's missing when people don't receive what the Holy Spirit has to say. This is what's missing when people don't sit in their armchair and relax and say, Lord, what do you want to talk about? If the Lord can't help you make personal adjustments, and if the Lord can't help you make ministry adjustments, and if he can't proceed to give you his thoughts and his protocols, there's no way you will ever graduate to the point that Peter did. Just like Peter said, this is that, talking about what I just read in Joel. He made the connection. Because he was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. He received counsel from Jesus. He received knowledge from Jesus. All of the parables, the teachings, the explanations of the parables, the questions that was answered, and the mighty visual of him walking on water. It didn't just benefit Peter. Peter was actually walking on the water, but it benefited his disciples because they saw Peter walking towards Jesus on water. And they saw Jesus walking on water toward Peter. See, when you see something like that, they saw him begin to sink. And they all shared the visual, if I keep my eye on what God is doing, I will be able to do what he is doing. If I make the adjustments that I need to make when I need to make them, I will be able to proceed to another glory. Now, I walk around and I know many preachers and I love them all. But they cannot go any further unless they spend time with their Father and yield to him and submit to him with the intent to obey him. If they, and I know the difference when a person just received ministry revelation, which is glorious of itself. It's wonderful, but I know the difference when you spend time with the Lord, what you're capable of, and that's why I get sad. Now I'm full of, I have peace, I still have joy, but I'm sad because people, I'm sad. I walk around being sad when I know that people could be doing greater works. And I know the difference, and they don't know it. I know that they don't know it. They want to know what's wrong, and they can't figure it out. I know that. Because I have the I know I have the training that the Lord taught me, and I know the difference. But when there are people who have that close relationship, they talk different. They receive different. They receive faster. They adjust faster. They embrace others faster. Not only that, they embrace people that people would consider low on the scale of life. They love God's people. And they help them grow. They're not proud that they are much further along than others. They want others to come up just like I do. In fact, to be totally honest with you, and I say this with the Holy Spirit as my witness, I want to see people do greater works than me. And when people do things that I can't do, I share their YouTube videos with other people. You know, the miracles of Henry Groover. You know, I wish I could have met him. The Lord transported him to Rome and showed him where Paul died. And there were two evil angels standing there holding back the apostolic mantle. And he rebuked them and arrested them with chains. He was transported there, he and five others, or six others, from all over the world. The Holy Ghost Commando Squad. They were all transported there. He went to a minister's house and told about this. And then, while he was talking to the minister, telling them what had happened, different ones called him from different parts of the world and asked him about that night. They said three cities, we'll name them. And they named Rome and two others. One of the guys did, anyway. And he said, Rome. He explained how he was at Rome. He said, okay, I'll call you right back. And the other guy called the other guys. See, this miracle happened, and it involved all those guys. And they were all transported there. They did what the assignment. And the Lord had Henry Groover as the point man. And they were praying with him while he did it. And you can look at this on YouTube for yourself. He was on Sid Roth talking about this. How he bound the angels in under the streets of Rome. They said, this is where we go in. They went down and he saw the angels standing. They're not angels. They are fallen angels. It was two of them and they were huge. He said they could have popped my head off like a Coke bottle cap. And he said, he rebuked them and said, you have held back the apostolic anointing and now I rebuke you in Jesus. He said whatever he said. But they said, you shouldn't be here. And then he rebuked them. And they said, well, we'll be going now. He said, no, you will not. And then chains came out of heaven and bound them. And they're still there. And they can't go anywhere. They're bound. And this was, what year was that? 1988. The Lord revealed to me that I was an apostle in 1989. If I remember right, it was the year before I met an apostle in Mississippi. I went down there with Brenda. It was either her wedding or her sister's wedding. We went to a church while we were there, me and Steve and Alicia. Steve's wife, Alicia, not my wife, Alicia. But we all went down there. And my cousin went, Nick and Rhonda. And I met, and the pastor introduced me of all people to an apostle. He said, this is an apostle. Now he walked up to all, he came to our group, but he said, this man is an apostle. He introduced me to that apostle. And I remember him. I said, yeah. And I was married to Debbie then. She was rejoicing, but she, he said, "Well, she received what I just said, but you got." I said, "No, I receive it. I never looked like I received stuff. I just embraced stuff. I didn't know that the Lord was going to call me to be an apostle in those days. A year later, the Lord gave me a dream. He said, I want you to work in the office." And he used a boss that I greatly admired and respected. He said, in the dream, we were working at like a steel plant, me and Elder Lewis and Steve. And he said, after lunch, he selected me out, and Elder Lewis was the pastor, see. He said, after lunch, I want you to come and work in the office. I said, okay. Well, I forgot. I went back onto the field. And then Richard Long came and put his hands on his hip like he used to do. I thought I told you I want you to work in the office. I said, I forgot. I'm sorry. He said, in the morning, you'll be in the office. The Lord dealt with me. Now, I didn't know I was an apostle in 92. But he started from that moment giving me information like he does since that time, visions and dreams. I saw a dream where he said, let not my people lack knowledge. And I knew what to do. I knew I had to go to different churches. After that, the group split away. Steve and Alicia went to Savannah, Georgia, and the Lord started using me immediately to minister to pastors. And I was wondering, why is he telling me to tell pastors? I'm just getting started myself. I got called in 87. He's using me like this in 1990. And when you talk about adjustments, I had to make all kind of adjustments. But everything came, you know, first this, then here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And I made adjustments, just like Peter. So when I gave words to pastors like God gave me, I was wondering for all of 1990 why that was happening, all the way up to February of 92. That's when the Lord told me what kind of apostle I was. He said, you're chief apostle to the church. I said, what? I couldn't argue because I had been obeying God. And I had to make adjustments. See, you have to make adjustments in order to be useful to the Holy Spirit. I made personal adjustments. I made ministry adjustments. I still make adjustments for every glory that I enter into. But see, anybody that proceeds, the Lord will take you far beyond the mindsets of the day and enable you to do what's not being done and introduce greater light. He'll make you more effective, just like with the salt of the earth. And he'll make us more obvious because our light will be more glorious in him. See, he shines through us. In all of our activity, he shines through us. Now, he said, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirits. And I'll pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said. And in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now let's go back to Acts. See, Peter, he's in place. He's aligned. He's fully submitted to the Lord here. He's humble to the Lord, and he's aligned. He's full. He made adjustments every time. When Jesus would rebuke him, he would embrace what Jesus said. Now, and this miracle happened here. Now watch what he said. In Acts 2 verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now watch what he said afterwards. And on my servants and on my handmaids will I pour out my spirit. And I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, smoke, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood. We had so many blood moons these years. Before the great and notable day of the Lord come, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This had never been done before. And yet, here it is. Then he said in Acts 2:38, the Holiness Church, Apostolic Church, favorite scripture. Then Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And in another place he said, be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Same thing. Because Jesus is the name, people get caught up in that. But nevertheless, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. See, God means business. And that was a heavy day. People had to make all these adjustments at once. But God was right there for those that were humble. Then in Acts chapter 10.